Pious rebel hearts. A common problem exists all across our world today and has ever since this time and before, in that there is a tremendous distrust by some of those who are in leadership. Dissension is easily stirred up against those who are in leadership. When sports teams have a losing season, the cries and the calls come quickly for the firing of the coach. There's one story about that I never, ever forgot. And it lasts with me to this day. I remember hearing the word that Alabama fired their coach, Paul Bear Bryant. Now, those who are old enough to remember that, those days, they fired him for an 8-3 season. There's a lot of teams that would thank God for an 8-3 season. And I mean, the calls came down to get rid of him. And you know what? It took decades until Alabama was back on top again. It has only been in recent years that the Crimson Tide has risen to the top once again. You know, sometimes changes are really needed. And as far as we're concerned, God's people, when that happens, God will make those changes that are necessary to be made. You know, sin runs rampant as people like we read about in this story, as pious rebel hearts operate out of wrong motivations. And they go against the people who are leading them, and they stir up discord among the brethren. And in the historical account that we're looking at tonight, we see very vividly how God dealt with these pious hearts that raised their voice against Aaron and yeah, Moses, right? Yeah. We see in this account tonight how God deals with those people. And God doesn't mess around sometimes. The earth opens and these people went down. And not just did they go down, everything they own went down. And their wives went down. And their children went down. And it says their little ones went down into the pit. God was very, very displeased, and He spoke and He acted in a powerful way. And that brings us to our first point tonight. We have 5 points we want to look at. Number one, well-planned rebellion. Well-planned rebellion. In Numbers chapter 16, we see a revolt against the leaders of Israel. Two groups got together for this, I call it a humongous rebellion. The one group was Korah and the Levites, who challenged Aaron's leadership. And then the second group was Dathan and Abiram, the Reubenites, and 250 chiefs of the community who challenged the leadership of Moses. I mean, that to me is huge. 250 men of renown. 250 men that God had given very privileged places to serve, as well as these others. And as we go along tonight, we're going to see that these people who revolted against the leadership were not the simpletons. They were not the simple everyday people. The people who revolted were those who were in the high echelons of Israel, men of renown. People that God had already given very good places to serve their fellow citizens. And they were not satisfied with that. Interestingly, both of these groups camped on the south side of Israel. And so some have labeled this uprising the South Side Rebellion. I think that's pretty good. The South Side Rebellion. They were not happy with the authority structure that God had put into place. Why are you, Moses and Aaron, exalting yourself above all the people here? Why do you two think that you should be above all of us? And what did they say? Everybody here is holy. We're all holy. Nobody's better than anybody else. Sounds a little bit like socialism to me. Now, that was true. They were holy people, except for one fact. God did not assign all of those people to the place of Aaron and Moses. God had chosen Moses and Aaron to lead. And God had positioned each tribe in a particular place and location in the encampment and gave every single one of them roles that they were to play. Some greater, some less. I want to stop right there and run to the end of the message for a minute. I want all of us here to understand tonight that as you serve the Lord, it doesn't matter if you push a broom in the parking lot or work in the nursery or come out here during the week or teach a Sunday school class or preach from this pulpit or serve on the elder board. Guess what? The pay is the same. The pay is the same. When we all get to heaven, the Lord is not going to look at it, well, now you just did this wee little job. You know what? You do that little job with all of your heart and your soul and your mind because the pay is the same. The rewards are going to be phenomenal. I've heard this said before, that there's going to be some preachers from out in the boonie churches who shepherded this little tiny flock for all of their life, and they're going to be on the front row in heaven. And all these great big guys will be back there. So it doesn't, wherever God places you and whatever He gives you to do in His will and His plan for your life, that is the most important thing in the world in the service of the Lord. All right, I wanted to get that in before anybody fell asleep. Before we get to the end. So what happens here in our story is we have this assault on the assigned positions. And what stands out in this rebellion is that all of this rancor and all of this rebelling against authority is coming from people who God has already given very, very good places to serve. It's almost like Lucifer, He wasn't happy either. And he was already number one angel. And so we see an escalation of the grumbling in the camp. Now, if we go back a week or so, as we've been in Numbers, this murmuring and stuff started on the outside perimeter of the camp. Remember that? Now, we've moved the grumbling right in the middle of the camp. The infection has spread from the outskirts to right in the middle of the camp. What a shame that is. And so it has now made it way to the top rung of the people of Israel. And so grumbling, as we learned, is very infectious, and now it is deep within the camp. And again, we want to notice that it is not the simple people that are rebelling against God's leaders. It is those who are already close to the top that are in utter rebellion. Our second point tonight is Moses' leadership. Moses' leadership. The first thing Moses does in this situation is the same thing he has done before. He is hit with this thing. The first thing he does, he falls on his face before God. It is a sign of his meekness and his strength. He knows what to do with these situations. He goes straight to God. Doesn't try and fix it. Doesn't go collaborate with this group over here. No. Straight to the Lord with this situation. And this is a model for all those who are in leadership. When attacks come, the first thing you do is get to God in prayer. That is the very first thing that has to be done. Look to God. Now, when you're in ministry, no matter what level of ministry you're in God's work, attacks on your leadership are an inevitable part of leadership. In other words, if you're leading anything, plan on being attacked. Plan on it. It's going to come. Somebody is not going to like where you are, what you're doing, and they're going to come after you. So remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind, your heart. So when it does happen, what do? You get straight to the Lord first. The disgruntled are always going to start a verbal attack. And then others will take it from a verbal attack to a letter-writing campaign. And they'll mail letters out to people, and they will gripe and they will complain about whoever it might happen to be. So the best way to handle these things, get to the Lord immediately in prayer and watch how He works. Be calm. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. That is the key. Maybe even if it's not church related, maybe if it's job related, family related, same thing goes there. You get to the Lord in prayer immediately. That is the first step. Go to Him. And then the next thing you need to do is get a hold of the peace that passes all understanding, knowing that God is going to work this out. And the best thing you can remember, and what I learned to do when I was still in Washington, is you just have to sit and let God work and not worry about it. You let God handle it. He will. We just read 40 verses. I think He handled it pretty good, very strongly. He took care of the problem, got rid of it, actually. Well, here's an interesting story. I'm not going to get this done tonight, it doesn't look like. I've told you about Merrill T. McPherson this morning, about the church that God, you know, with His angels cut it and imploded it. This was his advice to my dad. I bring up his name a lot because he is a man that my dad was tutored by and really, really respected. And this is what Merrill T. McPherson said to my dad. He said, "Now look," and of course he's getting up there in years in his ministry by this point. He said, "Bob," he said, "listen to me." He said, "You're always going to have somebody in your church that's going to get under your skin." He said, "Bob, don't kick them out." He said, "You know who they are. You know what they're doing. You just keep preaching the word and you stick with the program, because you know what's going to happen? If you kick them out, the devil is going to bring somebody in twice as bad as the person that you kicked out." Now, what was he speaking from? Personal experience. All right. So in our story here, these disgruntled wanted everyone in the camp to be equal, but they wanted to be at the top. That sounds familiar. So after going to God, Moses told the instigators that we're going to let God decide who He wants to lead. Moses didn't say, "All right, where's the army? Bring them in here, kill these people." No. He said, "We'll let God handle this. We'll let God decide what is going on. Who's going to lead?" And so, as they were doing this, this should have triggered a remembrance to these people about some other individuals named Nadab and Abihu. But that remembrance did not come to their brains, so no, they pushed on ahead. So Moses put them in their place by announcing that their target really was not Aaron. Their target really was not Moses. Folks, your target is God. You're unhappy really with God. And isn't that the way we can get? Isn't that the way we can get? We're really not mad at that individual. We're mad at God because He allowed this to happen. We've got to check ourselves sometimes and see, where's this coming from? All right, so Moses said, listen, I'm not really the target. Aaron's not really the target. You're unhappy because of the way God has put your lot in this life. So these men are not content and they are not happy with the very good position that God has already given them. I want to emphasize that. You know, it's like me being the vice president of Members First Credit Union. I'm not happy. I want Big Bob's position. You know that guy in the TV commercial? I want his position. I'm not happy with it. How come I'm not on a commercial? You know. So they're not happy. So Moses said, listen, what you're after is you want the priesthood. That's what you want. And you're not happy with where God has placed you. So point number three, we'll get through number three and then we'll finish it next week. Point number three, the lust for leadership. The lust for leadership. The lust for a leadership position can be a very dangerous place to go. Be a very dangerous place to go, especially if God is not putting you there. You know, it's been said that those who long to have power are also the ones that are most likely will not do it very well. That's why we got to let God bring us along. Let God do the promotion. Let God do that. Let Him handle that. Korah and the Levites wanted more. They had all the opportunity in the world to serve their fellow Israelites. I mean, the sky was the limit as to what they could do to serve one another. I mean, it was all there. And you know what? Had they been faithful in that, who knows what God would have done for them one day. They would not have gone down into the pit. They would have been elevated to an even higher position had they been faithful to where God had placed them at that time. No. They coveted for more. More than what they had been assigned. And they weren't happy with that. And so we must be careful, even as believers, that we don't get like that as well. You know, leaders, especially in the church, what is our job as leaders? It's to care for the flock of God. It is to watch out for them. It is to pull them out of danger. It is to warn. It is to help, to pray, to care, to love, and more. That's why God gives churches shepherds for guidance and caring and pulling strays from danger. Before folks are thrusted or placed or voted into leadership position, they ought to be folks who've already been tested in their leadership. Folks who have been there, done that. Folks who already have been leading in some way or another. Maybe it's a small way that they have been leading, but they've been doing it. And they've been faithful in doing that. And God is going to take them along and bring them along and bring them up the ladder. They should already be servants. They should already be caretakers. And you know what? Character is more important than knowledge or gifts. Now, there's a lot of gifted people who fail because they have no character. They don't have character. They're in trouble. So that's something that has to be developed. Do they sincerely desire to serve God and His people? Is the mark of God's call evident in their lives? Leadership is a fearful responsibility, and it should not be taken lightly. We are coming up very shortly to our meeting where we're going to be electing elders again. And this is something we should not do lightly. It is something that we should do very sincerely, prayerfully, and trusting God for this, because we are going to be voting men into positions of leadership. We're voting men into positions where they're going to be griped about. We're voting men into position where there's going to be someone who's going to say that, well, what are they doing there? They don't belong there. These things happen. And so it is critical that we as God's people take very, very seriously those that we're going to elect into a position where they're going to lead and have to make critical decisions. And the men that come on to the elder board have to do that. They have to deal with sticky situations. And it is not always a pleasant job. And so I'm not trying to scare anybody away tonight. But it is a very, very serious thing. And the men who lead the church, the pastor, the elders, really need the prayers of God's people, the encouragement of God's people, the backing of God's people, and to take that time when we will sit here as a congregation and vote for these men. That's a very, very, very serious thing. And as we saw in the story, in this true story tonight, it is a very, very serious thing when you're thrust into a position of leadership. And in our story tonight, we had people who wanted to be there that God said, no, I don't want you there. And so as we consider these things and as we continue next, we're going to be looking at, in point four, more complaining. Number four, God sinks the pious rebels. And number five, personal responsibility. So we'll finish this out next Sunday night and trust God for His grace and His goodness and His leading for all of us here at Faith Chapel tonight.